Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Okay, we made it. Welcome to the Creative Literal Side with Dean Bell. I'm Dean of the Nations United University, and special guests Mike and Bob. Before I introduce Mike and Bob, let's give you an idea about what the show is about today. Now, from the personal view, the world of socialized people is mainly based upon the literalized mind. As most people have been taught according to the controlling earthly corporations, this is why the all-natural environment that supports all of us is so ruined and getting worse every day. The literalized mind has its place. But for the most part, it is always out of control and ruining something. Then it justifies itself as politicians like to do when they are caught for all the deception they like to hide. They use their pretty words to smooch people, and most people buy what they are saying while their deception and destruction continues. The masses have become literalized intellectuals and thinking that just because someone says something like, "Oh, that disaster, it will be taken care of because of the president said so," or, "Oh, those chemtrails in the sky, I don't believe that they are anything because the government has not said they are." This is the brainwashed, literalized, and militarized society of today. There is a better way, and that's why we're here, to wake up and be free from all the deception. That if you have the real courage to be a real risk taker and see and do what really makes sense. Very few people will do this because they are too afraid. Their literalized mind does not want to disagree with all the planned demise that they're living in because they will be thought of as different. So here we are. Now, we have two special guests every week, Mike and Bob. And Mike is a professor of common law who specializes in naturalization, individual sovereignty, unalienable rights, property titles, citizenship, and cause and effect. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
Hi, Mike. Okay, and then we have Bob. And Bob is a air traffic controller with the FAA. He has a great love for aviation, and he has training, and he has obtained his private pilot's license in 1973, his aircraft mechanics license in 1979, and commercial pilot's license and flight instructor rating in 1981. So again, these fellows have a lot to share today, and we're just going to let them go here. So I think we'll start with Mike and see what's going on today, Mike.
Well, there's a lot of things brewing in the system, as you probably know or have heard of. The Supreme Court's moving in a direction that probably hasn't been not right. They just haven't figured out what it is. And, of course, the system is in a very interesting position to do everything it can to keep people from finding that out. Well, as I have begun my little trek through this morass of stuff, I got hooked up with the All In many, many years ago. And as I began to take these little steps, which most people are mostly deathly afraid to do, which is to walk into their world. And until you do that, you're not going to be given the ability to see what's really going on over there. no way that it can be done, you can't win. You know, they give you all 100 different excuses why they won't take the step into the very place or into a world that they're afraid to go into, not realizing that there's something that takes place with them that's protecting them in everything they do, as long as they're moving in a direction that's for the benefit of the whole, not trying to take personal involvement for themselves personally, trying to protect themselves personally because it's a bigger thing. And that's part of the principle. So Bob and I was very closely akin to a lot of different areas. He, of course, in the Air Force side of it. I worked at a major air 5 years, so we both have a lot of things in common with respect to that side of it. The other part of it, I stepped into the reptilian side of things back in the day when I was just getting started back in 1980, and it took me in a whole different direction. It was because of that that ultimately I'm not working for that company anymore. I got, laid off because I knew too much. And they didn't want me around people that I could have an effect on, especially at the higher level. So my walk has taken me in a whole bunch of different directions. The system, the common law, the natural, all the stuff that everybody's looking at today and having some kind of an issue with. And I was directed to take steps to find out underneath it all, find out what was really going on, why it was the way it was, and how we all came to the place we are right now. So that's kind of my opening as far as that side of it goes.
Thanks, Mike. Can I just put, if you're listening, just go on mute on your phone, because sometimes we can hear people. So if you're not talking, please get on mute. Just tap the mute button.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Am I on mute?
Not.
Oh.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Val. There was a tremendous amount of background noise. I could barely hear you speaking. That was all I could do to understand what Mike was saying, because it sounded like dishes and clacking and everything else in the background. I don't hear it at the moment. How do you hear me?
You're coming in real clear now. I think we took care of it. I think Tim was washing his dishes or something, but I think he's muted now. So you're good. You can carry on.
Okay. Well, where would you like me to start?
Well, you mentioned the history of the plays into, you know, the government's going on now, and what basically the takeover that has happened with the government and the U.S. being basically used as a takeover country to take over basically the world and the resources and making it look like they're the good guy through democracy and all that. So you'd mentioned being able to talk about some of the history and the background of that.
Well, before we go too far, let me say, when you introduced me, you said that I was an air traffic controller for the FAA, and that is absolutely true. I became an air traffic controller from the FAA, and I worked for them for about 3 years when I discovered my first introduction into how the legal system works or doesn't work, and how individuals are really kind of controlled and really put down by the system that's in place. And what happened to me when I was I should say I went for about from about 1985 until about 2002 without being an air traffic controller, but in 2002 I became an air traffic controller again working for a contract company. So it's, I'm back as an air traffic controller, but it's a contract company now. But what happened was, you know, when I was searching for different religious truths and understandings. Back in the early 80s, I became involved with a religion that believed in keeping, it was a Christian religion that believed in keeping all the Old Testament laws. And what it was a church that operated out of Texas. I'm sure if anybody did research, they could find out a lot more about it. But I was in search for the truth, and I wanted to find out what was going on. And I had been in a couple regular Christian churches, and I got kicked out of their Bible studies and ultimately kicked out of their churches for asking questions. And one of the questions I asked the churches was, one of the commandments was you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy by not working on the Sabbath day. And then there's all those other holy days, like, the religious holidays, which the Jews more or less keep today, or at least they keep some of them, and they don't work on those days. And I got such a strong conviction to follow that rule, I started keeping the Sabbath, and I told the FAA that I would no longer be able to work on Saturdays because of the Sabbath day. And they said, well, thank you very much for the 3 years that we've trained you, but we cannot accommodate you. And they said, bye. And I said, well, goodbye. And we parted ways. And I filed an EEOC complaint with the government saying, I was always taught like everybody else that you have the right of freedom of religion in this country. Just, so they're not, employers cannot, they can't discriminate based on what you believe or your sex or all these different things that they list. And I figured, well, religion was one of them. And I figured, well, since now I'm a Sabbath-keeping Christian and I don't work on Saturday anymore, they should honor that. Well, after 2 years, the EEOC came back with a ruling, and they ruled and said, well, we're not discriminating against you personally. We discriminate against everybody. And I was trying to figure out exactly what they meant. And then they finally explained it, and they said, well, the way it works is this, is we do not discriminate against individuals. We discriminate against everybody. You have, and basically what they said is, we don't care what religion, what sex you are, or anything else. If you refuse to work on Saturday, we don't care what your religion is, you're fired. And that's when I learned out what the EEOC was. And that was one of the beginnings of my study into, how the government works and all the things that Mike is working on. And you start to wonder, well, what is this about freedom? What's freedom all about? And so it led to, I've had a lot of experiences that have led me to where I am today and my understandings of how the government works today. But the question is, what is real freedom today? What constitutes freedom? Now, that's a question I'd like to pose to Mike. Mike thinks we have a lot of rights to be free in this country. So, Mike, why don't I start with that question with you? Explain to everybody what the real definition of freedom is.
Well,
before we get to that, I have a funny story. We had this women's march here. I'm in Huntington Beach, and in Santa Ana yesterday they had the women's march here, national, and but locally run. And what we were going to do is dress up as ghosts, and we're going to have a little sign saying, implied freedom is a ghost, because in the United States the idea of freedom is basically implied only. It's not practiced. So we decided not to do this because it might have upset a few people. They might have thought we were Ku Klux Klanners or something, but we went with the trees and the environment. But freedom is very interesting because they talk about it, but I still need a registration for my car, even though I own it. And go ahead, Mike, you can talk about that sort of thing.
All right, well, let's get back to that first part, the rights and freedoms that most people don't even know exist. We have a unique system in this country. It's not just unique with the country, it's unique with the planet. And there are things that took place at that revolution back in 1776 that hasn't taken place in any other country on the planet. So by that first step, the people from that crown relationship that they had in England, which most of the people that are in England still have it. In fact, I don't know another country on the planet except maybe for Liberia. And the only reason that they've taken a step up is because they actually came, one of their representatives came here and had a long discussion with one of our early chief justices and asked them, you know, what do we have to do to make our system like yours? And with a little bit of history, you'll discover that during the early days of our system, there were a lot of things that were going on then that are not going on now. And the Gold and Silver Clause was in effect. Qualified elector, the freeholder status, all these things were prominent amongst the original founders and within, we'll say, the first 20 to 25 years after that fact. They were all being exercised regularly by most people who understood what they were. Well, that act that took place with the revolution, if you can imagine the average person today in society, I don't care where it is, 20, 21 years of their life, they're actually subjects of the parent. And that's a pretty simple common law principle that exists no matter where you go. And there are some places that the government claims it has power over the child and it tries to enforce certain rules and regulations over it. But at our revolution, the people that were subjects of the king, the crown, and had to subject themselves to all of the rules of the crown, even though they may have created a bunch of common law rules in England that they really liked to apply to them, and that was the Magna Carta process, they brought the principles forward. And at the revolution, that sovereignty that they were subjected to while they were in England during that whole long time, 21, he no longer in this country has to listen or take any direction whatsoever from the parent. The parent is no longer his guardian, no longer his, we'll say, his parens patri, which that's a term that's used for the state as being the guardian over all of us as U.S. citizens in the state. And that's another term we'll get into a little later. But what happened was, is that sovereignty that the crown exercises freely and openly in their domain evolved onto the people here in this country. And this isn't just an opinion. This is a very limited. They never really got into a long dissertation on this individual sovereign nature. But those unalienable rights that the founders cut loose when they did the Declaration of Independence and revoked it from the crown were the very elements that the crown in England exercises daily and has what, if you look at the two definitions of the two different words, the unalienable and the inalienable, the one, the inalienable, the first part of that actually applies to the king in England. The unalienable side, that applies to all of the people and in this country who are all sovereign in their personal capacity. They just don't understand how it works. They don't understand how to enforce, be an example of that, and to give other people the understanding of how it works. But the simple part of this is this. With that sovereignty, our Republican form of government was formed. They birthed a system that had nothing to do with democracy, as it was understood by all the other countries on the planet. This is not a democracy. It's never been a democracy. And the founders were very, very pointed about that one fact. And any of these things that I'm giving you right now, you read the Federalist Papers at all. That was a little book that the founders put together to try and explain the Constitution and why it was written the way it was and how it evolved on the people with that revolution, brought along with it, and they list them right in the Declaration of Independence, your life and liberty and your pursuit of happiness. But that's not all. There's a whole bunch of other things that fall underneath the category. The problem has arise out of people's being dumbed down, their lack of understanding and education, in a system where they don't know where they were birthed in the first place. And I'm talking about their status, how it was created, and what the status was as it evolved from that revolution. And that's become the great dilemma for most people. And they use the words that the system created, key words, which most people I hear come out of their mouth all the time, and they don't even know where it came from or how it was created or who did it. The first word is called a taxpayer. Now, I haven't talked to anybody in the normal, we'll say the normal world out there in our system, that doesn't think that everybody isn't the taxpayer. They're just, yeah, you've got to pay your taxes. You know, we're all taxpayers. And I spent probably 2 years in my initial involvement with the system, and this was back in 80 when I told you I got involved. I had the IRS knock on my door one day through my CPA, and they said, well, you know, you have a $2,000 obligation this year, and quandary with that, because I've been working for this company for, maybe 10, 12 years at the time, and I've always paid my tax. Everything was up on the up and up. I had a CPA taking care of my stuff, so nothing was hidden. And this CPA tells me I owe him $2,000 this year. And I asked him, well, how is this possible? I said, I haven't done anything different. My salary is the same. All my deductions are the same. My same kids in the house. Everything's the same. He said, well, I think what happened is, they changed the tax base. And in that moment, it was like, what? What do you mean they changed the tax base? Yeah, well, yeah, your gross income, it moved up into the next raise. They bumped everybody up a notch. And if you happen to be close to that crossover, then you got into the next bracket. And so guess what? You got an extra $2,000 obligation on your yearly income. Well, that kind of put me into a tailspin because, back in 80, that was a sizable amount of money. And I had to go borrow in order just to break even that year. Well, it also pushed me. And at the time, I'd already been involved with a particular spiritual group, and I'd been warned. I'd already been warned that there were things that were going to happen to me as I started to evolve into these other levels, these other worlds, and I might not like what's going on. But remember this, no matter how difficult the scenario might be, you're always going to be shown what you need to find and to help you as well as the whole in your endeavor. So don't be dismayed. Don't quit. Don't ever think that it's going to be greener on the other side, because it's not. And you're going to be working off a lot of things from your past. You may not know it at front. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. But as you go, these little doors will open, and you will be able to see through those doors all the things that have brought you here and your responsibilities as you move forward. So it took me to the law library. There's one in every county, by the way. And I started to research the stuff about the IRS. And at the same time, I was also introduced to a group that were very heavily involved in the banking system. They're trying to figure out how it works, showing all of the stuff that they do and why they do it. And for some reason, I just kind of fell right into that. It just, my head was just like, oh, yeah, I know this. I know that. And I began to see things that I had never been introduced to up to that point. But all of a sudden, I was openly aware, and I knew what it was I was looking at. Well, I ultimately discovered that this term taxpayer that everybody's been led to believe that 99% of everybody is, in their own rules, by the way, their own code, their own CFR, it only applies to officers, employees, and elected officials of the District of Columbia and its territory. That's what a taxpayer is. And if you don't believe me, you just go look it up under 6331A of their code, 26. It's in there. That's exactly what it says. And it not only says it there, but if you go back to the 1861 Congress, you'll discover that when Lincoln was in the midst of his little game with the Civil War, he created with Congress a statute, a rule governing the taxation of property in all the people in the whole country. And it didn't matter where they were, they got taxed at some rate. Well, in that definition, in that whole thing, he also identifies the taxpayer, which again is the officer, employee, elected official of the District of Columbia. It's also commonly known as the United States, because the United States and D.C. are one and the same when it's used in all their codes, rules, and regulations. It does not include one of the states. Their jurisdiction over the people in the states and the states are very limited. But most people don't understand these differences, so they just accept their codes, rules, and regulations as if they apply to everybody, and they don't in regulations. These rules, regulations, taxing statutes, codes, they only apply to commercial entities and people involved in the commercial side of things affecting the public. They don't apply to the private person, the private citizen. So
Mike, can I interrupt you just for a minute? It's good. Can you, Bob's having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Maybe you could speak up a little louder and maybe a little slower so he can get what you're saying, and we'll be good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I was working up to the part about the rights that were the question in the first place. You know, what are our rights? Well, your rights are many, but if you don't know how to claim them, if you don't know who you are in their world, in their system, then you're subjecting yourself. It's by your own agreement. You know, when somebody calls you a name and you accept that and you allow yourself to be that, then you can't blame anybody else. And it just so happens that amongst their hidden rules and regulations, there are certain specific things that the people, if they knew they were there, and if they would take the time to do a little research and take a step in a direction that most people are deathly afraid to go, they would find a door bigger than they can imagine, and the freedoms and the rights to do the things that the people want at the revolution would again begin to evolve onto the people generally, just by association. Tell you how many people I have made personal contact with who have now began to look and realize and understand what it is I've been talking about for a very long time. And one of them is that voter registration thing that so many people are caught up in and so irritated about. There's a statute on our books in California. It's in the 1925 code, and it deals with the exemption for private transportation. It actually exempts the private side from the motor vehicle code, the whole code. That includes their insurance, their registration, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. That doesn't mean you can go out and run people over and you're not subject to the cause and effect side, because you are. And that's another issue of discussion. But these little pieces are all available for the person who's willing to take a little time and do something that most people are just afraid to do. And I can't tell you how many times I hear people, well, I'm going to have to get an attorney to do that. And well, maybe you do. But if you'll take a little time, follow a little direction, read some stuff that you may not have been willing to read or that you've been kept from discovering because of the educational system that you've been led to believe is the only way you're going to learn anything, if you'll take some little steps in here, you're going to find some other doors. And of course, that new you part of this whole process, that's the key. Turn that key to start with. If you're not willing to take a step into the other world that you're not even aware is there, if you're not willing to put your trust in something bigger than you and that has more power than you can even imagine, if you're not willing to take that step, that's the biggest risk you will ever take. Once that door opens, there is no risk beyond that, because you're going to be taken care of in everything you do, because you're going to be doing it for the whole, for you and for everybody. And there's principles that go along with this so that you'll know that you can cause some crap if you don't keep your eye focused on what the real principle is. You just can't go out there and shove truth down people's throats, because you're going to find that the consequence for doing that. But when you become the example, and that's the best thing you can do, be the example for what you're doing. And if you're focused on something that most people are afraid of, are scared to do, and you know it's what they're looking for, but they're unwilling to look at, When you're doing that, you're going to find that there's a movement behind you. There's a group of boys that are looking down on all of us and helping with all this stuff. And all it takes is just a little bit of a push for you in the direction that's usually scary. It's going to take a little bit of, we'll say, a fortitude to be able to overcome some of the things that you've been led to believe that are told lies to another level, and to help a bunch of people that are directly associated with you who will begin to see that there's truth in what you're doing, and they're going to want to know, well, what are you doing? How does this work?
Well, Mike,
this
Mike,
window,
can I interrupt you for a second? I'm sure there's a lot of I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners listening to this talk later on that never heard of the new you. Could you explain that to the people that have no idea what you're talking about? Could you explain it to them so they know what you're referring to?
Sure. There comes a point in time when you may be in a situation where you have no answer for your dilemma. And I mean literally. I found myself there many years ago. And in that moment, I found that I was asking for help. And I wasn't asking the local minister or the local governor or the president or somebody else. I was talking to something I had no concept of. But something inside me was saying, you need to ask for help. And then you got to pay attention to what you get for an answer. Well, that happened to me. And this raised my vibratory rate. There was a word that I was given to chant while I was in my quiet time, and literally any time I was doing anything, this word became part of me. And the word represented a frequency, a sound current. And once I started doing this, and I would ask a question in the moment of quiet, or even sometimes in the middle of a storm, the answer would come. I had to learn that the first answer was the one. And that's when the doors really began to open. So the new you, even though it's not the word I was using initially, the guides, the people that will come to your, I'll just say come to your rescue, although it's really not. They're not coming to your rescue. They're waiting for you to step up and to take the chance to do something that you would not have otherwise been willing to do. And when you do that, they're going to step in there and help you understand, help you get the right answers you need, and maybe even help with opening a door or two in the right direction because you're willing to do it. If you're not willing, forget it. You're already beating your head up against the wall. But the new you that's now being presented, and Dwayne is he's the guy. He's the one that's connected directly with the boys. He's been put in charge of the bringing forward a process to help those of us who are ready to take that step to move out of all of the controls of all of the lower world. And it's a very small window. It doesn't happen constantly, but it happens periodically, and it depends upon the status, the station, the consciousness of a group of people in a particular place and time. And it just so happens that our country and the people that have migrated here, who are also looking, are being directed here for other reasons than they may suspect. But that door, the door that Dwayne got the key, he's handing it out to people, he's putting the little indicators up all over the place. It's about fishing, and that's all he's doing. He's fishing for people who are ready to take the step. So the new you is your key. You silently, outwardly, however you want to do it, but if you chant this word and you do it on a consistent basis, even though you may not have results in the very beginning, it depends on what you're about, what your state of mind is, what your consciousness is. You may not get any results right away. And that may be just simply because you've got a little attitude about whether you really think it's going to work or not. You may be one of those people that do it for a week or two or three and get nothing and say, this is a bunch of hooey. Well, you just cut your throat from ear to ear, because it's getting rid of the attitude of it working or not is the key.
Okay, yeah, we're jumping around a little bit here. Thanks, Mike. we're jumping around. Some of the audience may not be able to follow this, but we do have. Let's go to the audience and see if there's anybody here that there's one caller here, 650 number, and see what they have to any kind of feedback here. Are you there, 650?
Hello, I'm looking for the nearest and best Korean restaurant in Orange County, preferably with some spicy orange chicken sauce. Could you direct me?
Yes, I think you have. I think you have the wrong number here, Miss. But you could probably just Google that if you have a smartphone. We are here to help everybody. So we're here for everybody, and everybody is included in what we do. So just go to your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, ask your mother. Okay.
So the new UU isn't Korean food.
Well, it could be if you find the right restaurant, sir. But at this point. We were on the subject of the Constitution and the government and all that. So, you know, if you listen to the show, you may find the answer later on. Maybe by the end of the show, you'll get your answer.
Thank you, sir. We'll look you up on ICANN, the Who Is service, and we'll find out where you're located. Thank you very much.
You bet. You bet. Thanks for the call-in. So, Mike, I'm also... I'm studying history in the master's program at a college on the online. I'm finding too, looking at the origins of the United States Constitution and the intent, the original intent, and how it's been through the 200 or more years, how it's been rearranged, basically, and how it's been. Diluted and distorted, and it's very interesting how, and then how people have bought into it, and I'm looking at the other students and how they're being basically conditioned to see it in a certain way through the homework and through the curriculum. So it's been I mean, I appreciate how you look at it in terms of a context of you know, through your research and how it's been from the original to now and how it's been basically subjugated to a different form even than what it was originally intended to.
I can give you a little clarification on that part. Most people are not familiar with the American common law. But it is a foundation for a lot of things. And, of course, the laws of cause and effect are part of all that. Most people engage in things every day that they have no idea what the consequences are for what they're doing. But our system, as it was established and as the Constitution was intended, was to secure the unalienable sovereign rights of the people, both individually and collectively, from any entity. Internal, external, made no difference. The only reason the Constitution itself was actually written was to set up a government that whose sole job was to secure the borders and prevent any foreign element, either internal or external, from breaching the trust and the security of the sovereignty and people within the country. And of course, each state was sovereign unto itself. Each state had its own constitution. The people in each state were sovereign individually, and it was from that sovereignty in the private side that the collective body of government was secure. So we're not talking about a bunch of people that are changing who and what they are in the system. We're talking about a system that was created and maintained by the founding principles of the system. So everything has evolved now over a course of many, many years. They've changed certain elements about the system, how you identify yourself, what you do in life, the permissions you must ask, the taxes you must pay, and all these things. They've all come out of progression of an alien force that has invaded our system from within, and the people have succumbed to it. So going back to the principle of it, the common law rules, cause and effect, that's the law, that's how it works, but it's no longer enforced in the minds of the people. They've lost the righteousness within themselves. They don't know the principle of right action. And that was something that was mentioned in one of the master's books back a ways, and it just happened to be a very, very powerful statement for me because it's exactly what's taking place right now. And the people are slowly waking up that something's wrong. Again, I said, they just don't know what to do.
Are you saying that there's no more, there's a misunderstanding of what the original intent was?
It's more than a misunderstanding. The intent was simple. It was like the principle I explained earlier about the child who leaves the parents at 21. Imagine this. The people that were here, they had a king that was standing over them, followed them here. He brought his rules, laws, regulations, titles. Everything about him was with those people. They admitted to it in the Declaration of Independence. They called themselves the subjects of the crown. They knew who they were. But at the revolution, all that reversed. There was no longer a king, no longer a crown, no longer a monarch. There was no longer any rule outside their own group that could tell them what they could or couldn't do. Like when you leave your parents. Your parents are no longer associated with you from the standpoint of control. That's what happened to the people. The Constitution was created for a government, not for the people. That was a rule for trustees over a trust. The trust was the Constitution. The trust was to secure those unalienable rights to the people, to secure their individual sovereignty and their capacity to rule according to a common law, which is commonly known as the law of sovereignty. I can't even imagine, most people don't understand how their family unit works, and it's exactly the same principle. You have the mother, the father, and the children. Well, the children don't tell the parents what to do. It's the other way around. And yet, when the children come 21, the parents no longer have power over them. That's exactly what happened to the people who evolved from England, Europe, who came here and created the revolution and then the Constitution. They stepped out from beneath the ruling parent, the crown. They now became the sovereign themselves. And yet they've allowed themselves through all of these very finely tuned, very deceptively worded rules, regulations, and the like, to allow themselves to fall right back into the exact same scenario that the founders fought the revolution to eliminate. So it's been here the whole time. The people are not exercising, I'm sorry about the airplane, Bob, the people are not exercising the things that they were born with because they've been led to believe they don't exist, or they've never been taught that there's something else there that they should be looking at. And the government, this is the real kicker. There isn't a single agent in the system, and I could probably mention one possible exception, but I don't know that to be 100% yet, who is not, as we speak, guilty of treason inside our system, county, city, state, federal, the whole bunch of them, because they're all on the snake's payroll. They all get paid by that fictitious alien element called the Federal Reserve. And that's another whole step in all of this. But until the people wake up to what's really going on and start learning who and what they are, who their parents really were, and I'm not talking about from their mom and dad, I'm talking about from the founders of this system, until they know what those people did and why and who it was for and what their duty is to maintain it. You know, I could create a scenario in a city where everybody there would be living in total equal cohabitation with each other. There would be no rules, no regulations, no consequences, none of that stuff, because each and every one would understand his relationship with every other individual. and that would be total harmony amongst a group of individuals. Well, that's what our system was set up for. That's how it was intended. Now, whose fault is it that it's gone the way it has? Well, you can blame it on a lot of elements, a lot of people. But you know what? We've all been here before. And there's some of us who know exactly where we were before and what we did and what it is that brought us back again to look at this thing and say, whoa, wait a minute. What the heck has happened to this? And that's kind of what's going on right now. And I'm not the only guy here that knows about this stuff. But it's been a long time getting to an open forum discussion where we can actually start to talk about these things openly so more people can realize and understand that it's not scary at all. I mean, what's the big deal about walking into an agency, handing the rule of law, say, look, guys, this is what I have a right to. I want it now. And if you don't give it to me, there's a grand jury over here that's probably going to bring down an indictment of treason against you for not doing what the law requires for my status, my sovereignty. And this is one of the steps that's in the process. I've already been engaged in most of the things I'm telling you about, so I know how they work. I know what the steps are. And I know who ultimately the people are whose heads are going to roll because they didn't do what they should have been doing all along. They took an oath and they've taken a whole left-hand turn and taken everybody with them.
Yeah, I know, Mike, you've been doing a lot on your own and you've done a lot of research. And I've been doing some reading and researching, too, on the Internet about other types of and forms of community, you could say government, but there's a lot of examples out there, like the indigenous people, of course, where they have very little restrictions because they live with the natural environment. So they get, you know, it's more about survival than keeping people safe, and which the government claims they're doing, especially this president, it's more about survival and really making sense of your environment and the community that you're in and the people you're working with. So they're a very good example of how people can exist with each other and not ruin the environment. So, and then there's another, I just saw something on Facebook the other day about a homeless group in Hawaii that formed their own little community, and they have their own, you know, they have a few rules there. They don't want to let anybody in there because it disrupts things, you know, it disrupts a certain consciousness that they build. But it can be done without the big government coming in and telling you what to do. It's just like you say, it's like, don't be afraid to create your own basically position and with your own community. And we're not talking about revolution or taking down the existing government. We're not that at all. We're not about that at all. We're just saying that there can be other ways of doing this and living and existing. And primarily, though, it's the environment that we're killing right now. And we want to get back to relating to the environment in a way that it doesn't destroy it. And that's really will be a true community. Did you have something, Bob?
Yeah, well, thank you, Val, and thank you, Mike. Well, before I say anything, Mike touched on it, but I want to follow through. Before I add any of my comments, I think it's very, very important for people to understand that, and as Mike said, a lot of people are kind of clueless about the law, but it's not only that they're clueless about law, common law, and all that kind of stuff, and they wonder why, you know, how come we think we have rights and we really don't. But the most important thing that I think that we need to share on this show is what Mike alluded to, is there are actually guides out there from the real side of life that can help anybody that's listening to this can access that information, and they can ask them any question they want, whether it's religion or whether or not they should pay their taxes or you know, meet with a lawyer or meet with a priest or what, you know, get married or not. All these questions can be answered by these real guides. And the way we contact these real guides is they listen for that special sound that Mike was alluding to earlier, and that is the new you sound. And for everybody that really is searching to find the answers, now I used to be a truth seeker, but I'm no longer a truth seeker. I realized that seeking the truth is not the answer. The answer is to find out what makes sense. And these real guides will guide you and show you what makes sense. And the way you contact the real guides is you sing new you, and you do it for about 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, and you do it day after day. And that will show your intent that you really want to get out of this haze of lack of understanding, and you want to find out what's really going on. And so the way I sing to you, you can do it any way you want, but I do it something like this. I say, I sing it, new you, and I do that over and over. I do it every morning and every night and other times in the middle of the day, and the real guides are listening for that. Anybody that's willing to do the new you song, the real guides will step right in, and you can ask them any questions you want, and they will answer your questions either in your dream state or during your daily life. They will have things pop up that show the answer. People will, you'll see an ad on a poster board, or you'll see something in the newspaper that will direct you to getting the answer that you've been searching for. So that was one thing I really wanted to share right off the bat. You have anything you want to add to that, Val?
I had something I could add to that.
Okay.
That answer, that's the critical part of the whole thing. And most people, they will get an impression of something that they think is the right thing to do, but then they will wait a little bit and get another answer that isn't the one that was given first. And it's always that first impression that's the key. And most people hear that, and then they don't act on it, and then pretty soon they've got another answer, and they're way off base. And if they keep doing that, if they're not paying attention to that very first impression, the first answer that comes, they're going to find themselves on a hard road.
Well, I'm sure everybody's different on that, because sometimes, you know, you'll be given the answer, but the nice thing about the real guides on the real side is they are patient. So if you miss the message the first time around, and you keep singing new you, on a, you know, and showing your intent, they will continue to work with you until they get through to you. So I'm not sure that people have to worry about. All right. So, well, anyway, the thing that I wanted to talk about on this legal issue, I mean, you've been talking a lot about how these people came from Europe and came to the United States and set up this free system. Well, I wanted to just talk a little bit about the background just for a few minutes. I know we're running out of time, but one of the things that I thought was very interesting, like when I was in high school, I was, you know, this was back in the 60s. It was before the time of a lot of our listeners, but in world history, actually, believe it or not, they actually talked about this group of people that actually were the rulers of Europe, and they called them Blue Bloods. And they were all related to each other. It was like you'd have the Queen of England and their nephew or something would be the King of France, and it was like all over Europe, and it was like one intricate family. And we know, at least from my research, that they never married outside their family, and they were called Blue Bloods because they had this one characteristic trait, and I think that stems back, if anybody wants to take the time to read the history of Zechariah Sitchin wrote a bunch of books, which are really history books, and what these history books talk about is they talk about a time on Earth when this group of beings from the Orion star system came to Earth and kind of took over the Earth. And they modified the DNA of some of the simians on the Earth and made human beings by doing DNA alterations and created Adam and Eve, and they set them up to be slave labor and even maybe even to be used as food, because they are so much more intelligent than human beings. They created human beings. They have the capability of traveling from Orion into our planet, into our solar system, so they know all about space travel. They know all about DNA manipulation, and they're extremely advanced. And they set up the system on the Earth, and as you know, back in the 60s, they must have thought people were stupid, because they bragged about how they were ruling the Earth through divine right. Well, their divine right was the fact that they actually conquered the Earth. And so you have all these people here. And then David Icke wrote a very interesting book that I would recommend for everybody. It's called The Biggest Secret, where he actually talks about these blue bloods and the fact that some of them have shape-shifting capability, and the fact that these beings that came from Orion to take over the planet Earth and rule over Earth actually have a reptilian form, and they became the leadership of our country. And that's a very interesting study for people. So you know, what's interesting is, you know, you have all these people. I have some friends that were pretty high up in some let's just say mafia associations, who told me that when the blue bloods of Europe, you know, they got tired of ruling over people with a you know, a rod of iron, and you know, you had all these peasants out on the farms in England, and you had the system, and it wasn't very productive. You know, I mean, people would go out, they would work their farms, and they'd make, you know, pull in, make so many bales of hay and whatever other crops they were doing, but it got to a point where these blue bloods that were ruling the planet wanted to get more production out of people. And they understood the principle that if people thought that they were free and everything that they worked for they got to keep, then or maybe a very small donation for the community to help the community, they would start a new country. And that's my understanding from them, was the Queen took all these people and sent them to the United States, and they set up this, what I would call a false front. Now, Mike, I know you take it very serious, but to me, the whole thing was a facade, that the Revolutionary War that set up the freedom in America was part of this blue blood plan to set up a country where the people thought that they were free, but they're really not free. And as Val mentioned, you know, it's they pretend that we're free, but they do have a lot of control over us. Even if it's not control over our physical bodies, at least they're keeping us in endless cycles of reincarnation through the religious teachings, like the Christian Church. So whether it's physical control or whatever, we don't have the freedom to escape this line of reincarnations. We'll never be free until we get out of these reincarnations. And so that's the bottom line of this whole thing. And fortunately, we've discovered that there's a group of real guides here that will guide us out of this false creation and allow us to learn what the real truth is, so we can step out of creation and go to the heavens that we really think that we're going to. So anyway, I know we're running out of time, Val, so I just wanted to throw that out there, and maybe we can discuss that some more the next time we have a show.
Well, we have 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, we still have time?
We can go a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, when the a lot of these people that the English government sent over, they retained their title of Esquire. Well, for anybody that doesn't know what Esquire means that they are sworn to serve the Queen, the British government. That's what Esquire means, and that's why a lot of attorneys, they put Esquire at the end of their name, because they realize that they are still serving the Queen. And so, notwithstanding what Mike said, you know, Mike says that there's a group of people that set up a constitution that will set the people apart, and it sure looks like it. But I personally am not really convinced that the British government actually relinquished anything. I've actually, just in the last 20 or 30 years, I have talked to judges that have been sent to judge school. There's judge schools in the United States. Whenever somebody gets elected to be judge, they send them off to a school where they get trained how to be a judge. And these judges have told me, they said the first thing they tell you is when you're in the courtroom and you're ruling over the people in the courtroom, remember one thing. There is the only law in this country is what you say it is. And be sure that you don't do anything that will make the people in the courtroom think that we're not operating under the Constitution. So they're between a rock and a hard place. So they can do whatever they want, but they have to go through the facade of not doing something stupid enough to where people might catch on that we really are not operating under the Constitution. And that's, I'll tell you, I've talked to several judges that have told me that have gone through judge school. And when I was studying this one Christian religion where I no longer do that, but I went through this one phase in my life where I studied the Babylonian law, and the system of judges that we have today is no different than the Babylonian law from when the Israelites were in captivity to the Babylonians. And as an example, the reason why when you go in the courtroom, the judges put on their black garb is because they are high priests of that Babylonian religion. And the bench that they sit behind is really an altar. It's a Babylonian altar, the same kind of altar they used in ancient Babylon to sacrifice human beings and to sacrifice animals. And so a judge in a courtroom is actually sacrificing people across his bench or his altar. That's what's going on in a courtroom. You know, a lot of people may think it's common law or whatever kind of law it is, but it's really a religion. You're being sacrificed for the cause of the reptilians. That's what's going on. And contempt of court, all these things, you know, if a judge doesn't like what you're doing, they hold you in contempt of court. And I don't know if anybody knows about contempt of court, but a contempt of court, a judge can do whatever they want. The law is suspended while you're under contempt of a judge. And I had 5 months in the Champaign County Jail and one of the adjacent county jails. I had 5 months to dwell on that idea because I was held in contempt of court for not paying child support. And after being in for 5 months, I had some friends that bailed me out, were able to get me out. And after I was out, I called up the judge of the, not Champaign County, but the judge in charge, the top judge of the adjacent county where I was in the county jail. And I talked to him on the phone. I said, how can you do this? You know, and he explained, well, he says, you have to understand one thing. We're not operating under the Constitution. We can nullify the law anytime, anyhow we want, whenever we want. And we can use contempt of law or contempt. And we can suspend somebody until they die of old age. That's not a factor. We have total control of what we want to do with people. And the judge told me that, and I said, well, And then right in the middle, after he said all that, then he stopped midstream and he said, well, who am I talking to? And I said, well, my name's, you know, Robert, and I will just spend 5 months in the jail because of child support. And the guy slammed the phone down. He didn't realize he was talking to one of his victims. He thought he was talking to another judge from one of the other counties. So, I mean, I have had personal experience with that. Another judge I met, I was flight instructing at a small airport in northern Illinois, and one day this judge flies in his own airplane, and I had a nice little chat with him, and I said, well, you know, nice airplane that you own there. He said, what, you know, and I said, what do you do? And he says, I'm a circuit court judge, you know, out of Chicago in the district court. And I said, well, you know, what's your plan? And he says, well, I'm in the process of retiring. I'm going to retire out west. I'm going to go out to Colorado, and I'm going to do some fishing, and then I'm just going to, you know, just be a part-time judge out there. And I said, well, how come you're moving out west? And he says, because they want to kill me. He says, I'm afraid they're going to, if I spend one more month in the district court in Chicago, they're going to murder me because I'm trying to rule and give people their constitutional rights, and they don't want that. So he had to quit being a judge in Chicago because they were ready to do him in. So anyway, that's some of my personal thoughts and experience with the legal system.
Are there any callers that would like to participate before we get back to Mike?
Yeah, well, I would like to say something in regards to the system and how it really works. And in spite of what all the judges have been led to believe and all of the people have been led to believe, there are processes that will lead you, if you're ready, if you're willing to wake up, it'll lead you through the system that most people have found themselves completely and totally trapped in. It's a very simple system. It's not complicated. But it's something you might have to spend a little time to learn. Find out is that system that supposedly doesn't recognize anything that the system was created to do, when you bring the right document and the right issue, they immediately stop what they're doing. And I say this specific because these are the things I have been involved in. These are the things I have done. I've actually gone through these doors. I know what happens when you punch the right button. But you got to look for the right button. Or if you don't know what it is, that's when the question comes up. Well, guys, what's next? What do I do here? And as I went through these doors, the doors opened. The information came, and the issues got resolved. And I didn't have to do any of this crap. I didn't have to go to jail. I didn't have to lose all the things in my life. Paid up a lot of stuff during my process. They call that karmic payback. You may not realize how deep you go. And how far back in your life of things that you've done that you're now coming to the point where you got to settle up with. Well, that's part of the process. You're either going to understand and agree with that, or you're just going to keep beating your head against the wall trying to figure out why things are happening to you. But nevertheless, the issues of a system not recognizing who and what we are is not completely correct. It only operates according to who you think you are and the steps you take. If you don't know who and what you are, they're going to look at you exactly the way you perceive yourself. And you're a tax-paying U.S. citizen subject under their jurisdiction and their zip codes and the whole morass of things that they created legislatively to entrap you. Regardless of how the system was set up or who did it or what their intent was, once I came. Now, I know there are other people who have been through those doors as well. And we do have an opportunity here, regardless of things that the blue bloods, and by the way, that blue blood thing, that's because they live on and drink silver and silver water, and they drink out of silver urns. That's what turns the blood blue. It's very powerful stuff, and all it's designed to do is to neutralize bacteria and other elements in your system, which is why the Catholic Church uses it for all their holy water. All their urns are silver. But nevertheless, back to the other part. Once you learn who you are in the system, they will no longer look at you the same way they've been looking at you. But it's up to you. Each of us have the choice. We each have to make the decision and decide. And then we have the opportunity to either risk something, which is what happens in most cases, people will immediately say, oh, my God, if I did that, this will happen. Or if I do that, boom, boom. And then they use examples of all those other people out there, all the patriots that have wound up in prison over all kinds of related issues, that if they knew who and what they were in the system instead of complaining and doing all the garbage that the average person does, they wouldn't have done and gone through the things that they're in. And the judges, at some point, and it's coming, you're going to see it, those people that have been violating the principles, I'm not talking about the Constitution, I'm talking about the principles of sovereignty, of doing things to their fellow man that they should not have done because there's a consequence for that. They're all going to be paying the price. You know, how many times have each of us been here? You may have very well been through this whole system in some other whole scope of time, you know, a billion years ago, whatever. There's reoccurrence. It's constant. Everybody's going over and over and over until you get it right. And the boys are sitting up there. They've already been through all this. They've done it. And they're just looking and waiting and watching and helping. And for those who are ready to take that big step, they'll reach right out there and hand you a pearl. New you, every chance you get.
Thanks, Mike. So we should be winding down here a little bit, the show. So let's have final statements, final shares from Bob and then Mike, and then I'll say something, and then we can see everybody next week. Bob?
Well, thank you, Val. Thank you, Mike. Well, it's always interesting to have the different opinions on things, and I know, you know, Mike is saying, there are laws on the books that give you the sovereign rights, exactly as Mike was saying. I would say that one of the problems that we have is, well, number one is too many people don't know exactly how the laws work, and they're afraid they're going to wind up in jail if they try it without not knowing what they're doing. And then the second problem that we have to face is the fact that the legal system, so many of the judges are unwilling to step out because if they step outside the norm of denying people their rights, they will be murdered if they honor somebody's constitutional rights. So you're dealing with some really nasty stuff there. So that's all I have to say for this session. And Val?
Thanks, Bob. Very good. And Mike?
It's wake-up time. All I can say, for those who are ready, the doors are there. All they got to do is start asking the guides to direct them. Because the information that's there, it's not hidden. It's in plain sight. And that's what the snakes, the lizards, and all those people, they don't want people to find it. They don't want people to know what it is, and they sure as heck don't want them to exercise. So this little window that we've come to with Duane's assistance and the boys, it's a limited window. And for those who are ready to step forward and actually stretch themselves and take a little risk in things that they've been led to believe are not true, then this is the time. I appreciate your responses.
Well, thank you, everybody that's been listening.
Yeah, and this demonstrates how there's different viewpoints about how to so-called get or to have more awareness. We all travel, or we all recognize this reality in our own way and through our own creativity and cleverness even. So what we have here is the governments are basically brought out to control people through taking control of the monetary system, and then that controls the labor and so on and so on. So it's a tricky situation here to get through the government and all the restrictions. Again, we're not trying to take down the government. We're just giving people the opportunity to see that there is so much more, a whole lot more way of living, and then going even beyond the so-called one-dimensional living is about. So let me
Can I make
here.
One more comment, Val?
Sure.
Most people are probably going to hear about this because it's something that Congress is in the process right now. There's actually been a bill introduced to eliminate the IRS. And this is not a pipe dream. Somebody's actually doing this. And, of course, if somebody in the system is going to try and get rid of a problem that most people have and didn't know, then you might want to look back in history and see where this thing came from. You know, it took an act of Congress to create all this junk, and all of a sudden Congress is looking around saying, maybe we should get rid of this problem. And the reason's simple. When the rest of the people wake up to what it really is and what it's been doing, they've done to the people, there could be some real difficulties for those who are part of that. So that's all I wanted to say.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Quaddy.
Yes, this is Quaddy in Texas. I just wanted to say thank you so much. I learned a lot today about history that I didn't get a chance to pay attention to when I was in school. But, boy, you really made it easy for me to understand. And I thank you. I'm just a grandmother who's, living life on her Social Security and trying to stay out of trouble. But I learned a lot about history that I did not know. And I thank you for doing all this research and look forward to next week's show. It's going to be great. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Claudia. Next week we'll talk about the Federal Reserve and the banking system and some of the other things that are going on. It should be very, very interesting.
That's wonderful. For sure. That would be a good one.
Does anybody else have any last-minute comments?
Oh, yes, I was on mute. Excuse me. We're going to be on February 3rd in 2 weeks, and we alternate with the New School Homeschool program, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. Well, it's a radio show. Okay, so thank you again, callers, and thank you again, Bob and Mike, for just sharing so much information and helping us become more aware. I'll end with something here from the Dwayne the Great Writer, which we referenced, and he's a real guide, and he's also very much interested in what's going on here and helping people become more aware. A real life is not about thinking and rationalizing, as it is about seeing and being. The literal part of the personal self has its place, as nothing is negated, but there is so much more to wake up to and recognize that cannot always be literalized into any mental category. While most people are being dumbed down on a daily basis, they are also looking for some kind of freedom for themselves. There is no freedom here, and there never will be. Only when you, the real you, wakes up to your real awareness and recognizes who you really are, will you begin to see what real freedom is. You must take the time and learn to see more than just your literalized conditioning to free yourself. If you wait too long, you'll just become old and fossilized once more, and as you have in your own previous unconscious lives, and stay lost here again. And like Mike said earlier about just basically your intuition, first respond to what life is showing you, and then activate it by doing something, contribute something. And that's where you really get it, once you understand and see the process that life is providing for you. And the part of this is the show here, and we're just giving you hints and references to help you along with becoming more aware. So again, I thank everybody for being on today, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Val.
All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.